Honourable Hillness is on study leave. Honourable Taupo is still on medical leave. Honourable Yu Yenge will be here, but he will be here later. Some problem as he moved from the Eastern Cape to Limpopo. And then we also have an apology. So those are the rest of the committee apologies. We don't have any other apologies. Honourable Albert will also be arriving late. So we've got two people in the committee who will be arriving late, and one on medical leave. Thank you very much. What we are going to do, just to start off the members, because someone first to adopt the agenda, propose the adoption. Thank you, Honourable Mtali. We have someone to second it. Thank you. Members have been were asked to just attend the BRRR process that Parliament has been running for the last 2 months, and I believe members of this committee have not had the opportunity of attending. Can I see by show of hands those members of this committee who only took part in the induction process but not in consequent process of the BRRR, which is being run by the House Chair, the Honourable Toko Nediza. So if I can just see by a show of hands, and the reason for that is we've made another plan, but can we see by a show of hands? Right, so only two, okay, it's actually four. You've actually gone, have you, Honourable Mtali, as well as Honourable Matthias. So it's only the four of you. What we're hoping to do here is to incorporate it as part of our process as we move on. So we will be doing it and providing you from time to time, including the training period, with some of that information. Right. We now will move straight across into the National Commission. Let me get this here. The National Consumer Commission. And you're very welcome, Mr. Ibrahim Mohammed, the commissioner there, and your team. Also, Ms. Suraj Naidu, thank you very much. If you would please introduce your team, that's from the National Consumer Commission, and then we can proceed. I had wanted the researcher to brief us on other issues, but she'll do that after you have come in. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chair. Good morning to you, and good morning to all the other honourable members. The team accompanying me today, seated next to me, is Mr. Narayan Kulji, whom we popularly refer to as Babs. Babs is sitting right next to me. Behind me, just right behind Babs, is Mr. Anton van der Merwe, who is currently seconded to the National Consumer Commission as the acting head of corporate services. I shall explain a bit later about our progress with regards to filling that position. And next to Mr. van der Merwe is Prudence Moyova, the divisional head of enforcement and investigations at the National Consumer Commission. Thank you. May I proceed? Yes, honourable members, I recall presenting to this committee a year ago, rather embarrassed that the NCC, despite my and the staff's commitment to by the executive authority, the DPI, and in particular, the Minister's Office, the Public Entity Oversight Office, the Division of the DDG, the CCRD, Consumer and Corporate Regulation Division, and so on, as also the Group Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Martin Knight. We are deeply indebted to them for the assistance rendered to the NCC during what was a difficult and challenging period, but also a rewarding period. Chair, when I speak to the unqualified audit that the Commission received, I wish to refer the committee to page 12 of the annual report, and I'd like to just read a paragraph or two. The NCC, despite its problematic beginning, has begun to stabilize. It will be recalled that the NCC received a qualified audit last year. It's clear then that the NCC was not operating as a public entity should. Over the year under review, the NCC has, from a compliance perspective, grown in leaps and bounds. Internal audit and risk management that is previously non-existent has been implemented. Recent processes have been effected within the finance division and supply chain management. Irregular expenditure has been managed effectively. Irregular expenditure and invoice registers have been implemented. The asset register and payment processes have been revised. Creditors have been paid within 3 days except for one invoice, and this was an invoice that was disputed. Each and every finding by the AGSA in the previous financial year has been dealt with and monitored regularly. Each division, in order to improve serviceability, has commenced with the introduction of standard operating procedures. The Audit and Risk Committee has met several times in the course of the year. And so it goes on. Committee members, honourable members, is a key highlight that I wish to bring to the attention of this committee. The other highlights are that a major investigation was inducted into what was termed the meat scandal last year. The investigation has been completed. I'm sure that committee members would have, even though they were not here last year, this is a new committee, read about much of this in the press. It was very widely publicized, the issue of meat and the mislabeling of meat, and the issue of cross-contamination versus adulteration, and so on. The DNA tests and the reports produced by the universities of Stellenbosch and the universities of Western Cape. And as I said, the investigation has been completed and the report has been submitted to the Minister of Trade and Industry. Most of the recommendations in this report on how to mitigate the risk of cross-contamination of meat. The meat investigation, honourable members, led to labeling regulations that was promulgated by a minister, and other recommendations are being followed up. There is now a regulation for red meat, and it talks to Section 24 of the Consumer Protection Act, where the minister can prescribe the products that need to have a plate description. And the minister can prescribe active goods and must carry a trade description, and he's done so with regards to me. Honourable Chair members, the horse meat investigation was conducted. One would recall that there was a, in Europe, and I think in particular in France, it was found that horsemeat was discovered and found in various products. And what the commission proactively did was to contact the importers of meat products from the exporters in France, the fungus group, and see how this was the local distributors. We contacted them to talk about the situation with regarding horse meat, and they conducted two DNA tests. It was found that only one product that contained meat was being imported by them from Finland, and no horse meat was found in them. Committee members, there was a major investigation that was conducted into the timeshare industry. That investigation has also been completed. The matter is now being taken to the Consumer Tribunal because the NCC is of the view that contracts in perpetuity are unconscionable. And we are going to the Consumer Tribunal to request that such conduct be declared unconscionable and therefore prohibited. We met with the industry as recently as on 9/11, the 11th of September, which was last week, and where we informed them that yes, we will work with them, we shall work with them, but we are taking this matter to the tribunal. And also discussions were held around the drafting of a code for the industry, and we expect a draft code to be submitted by the 31st of October this year. With regards to the complaints backlog, we had resolved backlog up to about 92% as of the end of the year. Earlier in the first quarter of this year, the entire backlog has been eradicated and there is no longer any backlog. There has been a threat of another backlog developing, but proactive steps by the Commission to avoid this have been taken, and we can confidently say that we do not expect another development backlog this year. With regards to the relationship between the National Consumer Commission and the National Consumer Tribunal, I am pleased to say, and I think I have said this previously in this committee, that the NCC is working well with the National Consumer Tribunal. Now, we know that this was not the case previously. There were strained relationships between the National Consumer Commission and the National Consumer Tribunal. But this has all changed under my leadership and with the assistance of my staff. The National Consumer Commission and Tribunal in fact host its first Consumer Protection Summit towards the end of the last financial year. The purpose of the summit is to bring all stakeholders in consumer protection in South Africa together to take stock of where we are and to bring meaning to the life of consumer protection in South Africa. It is also about collaborating with all our stakeholders. Committee members, the National Consumer Commission, to continue with the highlights, hosted 17 workshops, concerns with regards to expired goods persist, as also among several other issues, SMS win competitions that consumers are informed about by SMS, and then they have won nothing, and there's always a catch to it. May I, for the next point, refer the committee to page 23 of the annual report. Page 23 of the annual report lists the product recalls for the previous financial year. Product recalls are important because they generally touch on safety of products and safe use of products for consumers. BNC works very closely with the national regulator of compulsory specifications on safety standards. We should point out, and I don't know if the committee wants me to go through all the 20 recalls. I don't think that would be necessary. The committee may ask questions if it so deems appropriate when the time comes. But just to talk about maybe two or three of them. One important recall is the recall of medical devices that were recalled. A doctor had utilized a medical device that was supposed to provide therapeutic assistance to a heart cardiac patient, and it didn't work, and the doctor complained, and this is how the company then recalled all of these products. With regards to the recall of Airex, the commission had a chance through reading and looking at what was happening internationally, discovered that there were recalls of certain major motor vehicles in the overseas market that had default, that had airbags that were faulty. And the commission then wrote on its own account to the motor vehicle industry here in South Africa and asked whether their airbags were made or manufactured by the same company that caused the recalls overseas. They indicated initially that that the airbags were fine and that they were not affected, but that they were going to be meeting or that they were going to be writing to all their members to inquire. It subsequently transpired that Toyota had recalled several of these models because of this airbag situation. It also transpired that BMW has recalled several of their motor vehicles. Now this, honourable members, must agree is a safety issue and could cause serious harm to consumers if not addressed. So that is with regard to the recalls. Honourable members, the Commission also participated. There is currently globally a revision taking place of the United Nations guidelines on consumer protection. And the National Consumer Commission, together with Consumers International of South Africa, has been collaborating and giving inputs into this process. The National Consumer Commission has also become an associate member of Consumers International. Other highlights are that the Motor Industry Code was submitted to the Executive Authority for accreditation. Honourable members, most of the complaints that we receive at the National Consumer Commission arise out of problems relating to motor vehicles and motor vehicle industry in general. We've received over the last 3.5 years thousands of complaints relating to motor vehicle issues. The industry that comes second with regards to complaints is the consumer goods industry. received from both of these industries codes of accreditation. As of date, we have submitted two of the codes. The one was submitted during the previous financial year, and that's the motor industry code, and the code for consumer goods was submitted to the minister during this year. We are awaiting accreditation. Once the codes are accredited by the minister, and the code includes a mechanism for alternative dispute resolution, which will be funded by the industries themselves, and as a free service to consumers. Once the code is accredited, it takes on the force of law, and the industries, the industries or the importers will be in a position to have authority when it comes to the resolution of these matters. May I then move on that deals with some of the highlights to the regulatory concepts. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. The slide is there. The TTI is the custodian of consumer protection policy. The commission is established in terms of Section 85 of the Consumer Protection Act of jurisdiction throughout the Republic. Its core responsibility is to enforce and carry out the functions of the assigned to it in terms of the Act. And the CPA seek to promote fair, accessible and sustainable marketplace of consumer products and services, and for that purpose they have established national norms and standards related to consumer protection. The Act further seeks to provide the group standards for consumer information, to prohibit unfair marketing and business practices, to promote responsible consumer behavior, and to promote a consistent legislative and enforcement framework relating to consumer transactions and agreements. The South Africa, honorable members, in South Africa, consumer protection is a shared competency with the provinces. We therefore have concurrent jurisdiction. The provinces have their own legislation with regards to consumer protection. So jurisdiction is then shared. The provincial consumer protection authorities. Provincial consumer protection authorities exist in all nine provinces. In terms of the legislation, for the legislations in the provinces, they are supposed to establish consumer courts, which are administrative tribunals within themselves. Although there are nine provincial functioning consumer protection officers, there are only about three functioning courts in the provinces. And the National Consumer Commission is working closely and both working closely with the provinces to encourage them to actually set up their courts so that consumer protection can be spread more widely and the decisions can be taken at the provincial level. With regards to the strategic objectives of the National Consumer Commission, the strategic objective one is to promote compliance with consumer protection. It is very important. It just about covers all our work. And strategic objective two is to be a well-governed and capacitated organization. Honorable members, the National Consumer Commission, which commenced its operations, was riddled with certain issues and certain problems related to governance and systems and processes and so on. And when we had our strategic session in November 2012, we believed it to be very important to make that as a key strategic objective, to be a well-governed and capacitated organization. And I think we are just about achieving that. We've done, and I think I spoke earlier about the processes that were processes, policies, systems, achievement against targets. Are the 72 officials appointed at the NCC as at the end of the previous financial year? 49 out of 72 officials, including managers, are involved in operations. That is not a large number, honourable members. These 49 officials carry the operational work for the mandate of the National Consumer Commission. The, in terms of the annual performance plan, we had 12 measures, which included about 20 targets. The NCC fully achieved on 8 measures, 8 of the 12 measures, and 16 of the 20 targets. 4 targets were not fully achieved, but more than 50% of the 4 targets was achieved on 2 targets, which means that 2 targets were underachieved to a major extent. Now, plans have been put in place to ensure that the targets are achieved in future, and this is the focus for this year. Honourable members, I've already spoken about the problem at the beginning and the stabilisation of the NCC in my opening remarks, so I shall not repeat all of that. Safe to say that we stabilised, we've received a qualified audit, we've made tremendous progress on previously announced internal audits and risk management functions, and we have strict control measures in the finance division and supply management units. We also said that irregular expenditure is managed effectively, and process and wasteful expenditure and deviation and invoice registers have been implemented, asset registers revised, and all 96 findings made by the AG in the 2013-20 financial year have been dealt with and monitored. To improve on services of each division has introduced standard operating procedures. The audit and risk committee has met several times in the course of the year and engaged in meaningful deliberations for the NCC. Irregular expenditure, which stems from the 2011-2012 financial year and only discovered during the 2012-2013 financial year, continue to plague the NCC, but this will be dealt with in the financial report. Honourable members, the following pages talk to the specific achievements against targets. Chair, I don't know whether I am required to go through each and every performance indicator and target. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Maybe then, Chair, with your permission, but just before I then hand over to, with your permission, ask our acting head of corporate services to take us through the financial aspect of this report. Yes, Mr. Van der Heuvel, yes. To say that the NCC, and I say this I think now for the third time, that we have stabilized. Much more needs to be done. The NCC is now geared to fulfill its mandate because we have all the processes, systems and controls in place. Indeed, we've begun to fulfill our mandate, and we're beginning to tell a good story. But much more needs to be done. Investigations and inspections need to be stepped up. Advocacy, education, and awareness, we need to really get out there in the furthest corners of our country so that we can get the word out to our rural communities, our vulnerable consumers. We need to do more research to inform understanding and as a basis for investigations. contents of the strategic planning session, which will be held within the next 2 months. Finance, funding and resource requirements will be factored into a presentation that we may. We are not coming here today, sorry, let me rather say this. We are not coming here today asking for money. But we do recognize that it may be something that we will have to do in the future because of the lack of resources in the organization. But when we do come here, it will be documents which adequately support why we need the money. Thank you so much, Shane. I then ask our Divisional Head, Corporate Services, to take us through the financial management report.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. I just want to highlight to you the major aspects of the financial statements and the outcome thereof as per auditing by the Auditor General. The first slide is one where there is a summary of the total revenue and the total expenditure of the NCC, and what I specifically want to draw your attention to is that for this specific financial year 13-14, the NCC had an underspending total of 3.199 million, or otherwise 7% of its budget. Now, the underspending was mainly on goods and services, and that was the result of invoices totaling 1.708 million rands that were only received after the end of the financial year. But in the same regard, as Corrie alluded to by the Commissioner, there were a lot of challenges during that specific financial year. In terms of services moving, there was a lot of processes and systems where the transactions and the legitimacy of those systems and processes were under question, and that by itself also then delay the payments of services to a large extent, as such payments would have added to irregular expenditure. Then the next two slides just gives you just a summary per major strategic objectives of the NCC. In terms of the funding versus expenditure, I am not going to spend too much time on that. You're more than welcome to raise it by means of questions, but it's just the major spending items, the budget versus the expenses. On the statement of financial performance, there again is this is the financial statement, and this is basically compiled on a accrual basis of accounting. So here again, it just shows you the total revenue in the budget allocation from that we receive from the DTI, other revenue that we have by means of investment, and then your expenses per expenditure type comprising employees, compensation of employees, operating expenditure in goods and services, and depreciation. On the next slide, I just want to take you through the major findings as a report of the AG on the financial statements. Regarding performance information, there were no material findings on the usefulness and the reliability of the performance information. Regarding the budget, a concern was expressed given the accumulated surplus without the approval of National Treasury, and that being on the mention of the Public Finance Management Act. I just want to mention to you that there was indeed a submission requesting the retention of funds, but given unforeseen and unknown circumstances, that specific submission never reached the National Treasury as part of the consolidated request of the DTI. We have obtained approval from Treasury since to include this accumulated surplus for the 12-13 financial year into the request that we'll make for the 13-14 financial year. And then also what should be mentioned from the report of the AG is that there, as compared to the previous year, there was unqualified audit opinion expressed, obviously, with a few findings that were raised on various aspects. The next slide is on the irregular expenditure. And there, the irregular expenditure, and I have to apologize, this information was basically copied from the financial statement, so it's very difficult to see it on the screen. But then in the same regard, I just want to mention to you for the 13-14 financial year, the new irregular expenditure totals 6.9 million rands, and a lot of them are the carry-through effect of previous instances where certain processes were not followed, like your procurement policies, or where there were contracts in place that are doubtful and for which the associated expenditure resulted in irregular expenditure. The irregular expenditure comprises mostly expenses that relate to the lease agreement, which total 5.2 million of the total 6.9 million rands. Then there was also two cases or two instances where documents were stolen and they could not be submitted to the AG for auditing, and that amounts to, for two financial years, to 655,000 rands. And the other irregular expenditure relates to non-adherence to procurement policies by not obtaining the required number of quotations prior to the appointment of a service provider, and then also where the preferential point system was not applied consistently by the NCC. I just want to mention, although the amount for the 13-14 financial year, 6.9 million rands, is a high amount, there were no associated losses for the NCC as a result of this, and value was received in all instances. On the next slide, on fruitless and waste expenditure, as compared to several cases amounting to 3.5 million rand for the 12-13 financial year, for the 13-14 financial year, there was only one case applicable, and that is where the taxes that were recovered by the NCC from staff salaries were not timely paid to the South African Revenue Services, and where subsequently interest and penalties for an amount of 26,000 rands was charged. On the AG's report, furthermore on the emphasis of matter, the AG indicated the legal claims, where these legal claims or these legal processes is in progress, and where the final outcome of that cannot be determined at this point in time, and that amounts to 2.3 million rands. One of them is an arbitration case of 630,000. The call centers that were purchased by the NCC that were not provided and for which full payment was not made amounted to 1.3 million rands, and that is also, like I said, subjudicate. And then there is a security contract that was terminated where the supplier for 375,000 rands claim reimbursement by the NCC. And then the other amount is, as already mentioned, is the retention of funds that right now we are awaiting Treasury's approval, and which amount will be included in the current retention of funds request. Regarding procurement, the other matters that were raised by the auditors relates to, as already mentioned, the procurement processes of the NCC, where the preferential point system was not applied to transactions over 30,000 rands. I just want to mention to you that for all these audit said emphasis on matter or other audit findings, the NCC has implemented action plans, and those plans are being executed in a decisive manner, and it includes also monthly tracking by the NCC on the progress made of these issues, and then the processes and systems that were already implemented, as mentioned by the Commissioner, will also also assist the NCC to prevent similar cases in the next or in the current financial year, but then also to put sufficient preventative controls into place to prevent irregular expenditure as far as possible. Madam Chair, just for you, I just wish to consult with the Commissioner that I should continue on these issues, but I think it is. On the vacancies, as on the 31st of March, 110 positions of the approved establishment of 182 were vacant, and of those 182 positions, funding is available for only 82 posts, of which 10 were vacant. And now, to mention to you the actions that we're taking in that regard, is the restructuring of the organigram and the organizational structure of the NCC to correct previous faults that made with the post establishment, but which will mostly, as a result, focus more on the core functions of the NCC being enforcement and inspections and adherence to the policy. And it is most likely that there will be a number of these positions that will be terminated, as they will no longer be required, but that process is ongoing. With regard to the skills, a skills audit has not yet been finalized in respect of the NCC, but there were actions taken to identify the skill requirements of the NCC, and based on that identified skill shortages, programs are being drafted and implemented, and staff are being sent for training. And also by means of internal coaching, we are addressing the skills gap. The Commission already alluded to the backlog in the complaints that are being addressed sufficiently. And I already mentioned that regarding the irregular expenditure, the most of it relates to the leases, and there's another 2 years that we will be sitting with the current lease contract and subsequently with the carryover effect of that irregularity. And then based on that, the time when we reach expiry of the contract, we will rethink the current location, and obviously along with that the cost implications to resettle if necessary. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, is it appropriate for me to continue with the first quarter report, or do members want to take questions first?
I think that was a sort of an opportunity for us to effectively engage. All right. Good hour here for 45 members engage on what we do.
Thank you, Secretary.
We've got the annual report comments here. We've got various other issues, broad understanding of the budget and so on and so forth. And we have received your information. We'll look at the first report into the first quarter. Thank you. Members, we did get apologies for those of you who may just be walking in and so on. Thank you for your hand to do. Can we see by show of hands that we ask we please see by show of hands those who wish to comment or raise questions. Right, the Honourable Albert, the Honourable Mkongi, the Honourable Montash, the Honourable McPherson, the Honourable Cornwall. Elder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My apologies for being somewhat late. I have one question at this stage that relates to personnel. I think that my mind, you are underfunded, and you also don't have enough personnel. The type of questions that you need to field or matters you need to deal with is quite broad. You have a very broad jurisdiction, and that is problematic, and I think therefore you are basically flooded with complaints, from the frivolous to the most important ones. And I would just like to know from you, what would be your ideal position in, how many personnel would you like to have to actually deal with the workload that you have at the moment? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Honorable Mkhongi.
Thank you very much, Edson. I just want to first welcome the report from the Commission. It is very informative for me who interacts perhaps for the first time, was not here last year. But now I'm finding a good report with Congress. I want to refer the Commissioner to page 44 of the report. The additional matters, and then we go down here, a lot of things that the Auditor General is raising, which are concerns that are taking place within the Commission, notwithstanding the work, the good work that we have done already, but these are the issues that I think they need also to be taken into account. Chairperson, I also want to take the meeting to the presentation, page 27. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I just want an explanation. Yes. If you look at the notes, the legal fees of a personal nature, former commissioner, again, the legal fees of personal nature, former commissioner. I'm not sure who has said that the commission is facing financial crisis. Are you able to recover that money from the former chairperson? So what are you doing with that? Because it's very important that we recover that money. The last question is on page 28 also of the report, ages report. Why do you call that a surplus? Disclose the contingent liability of 5 million. This amount includes the surplus for the year ended 31st March 2018. Why do you call it surplus? It's not underspending. Because I don't understand whether the Treasury regulations and the PFMA allows you to call that a surplus. Why do you call it a surplus? I'm not sure what they can say. Mr. Fandar, remember, it's 28, page 28 of the pages report below. The last one is on steals, because I'm listening very carefully when people are reporting. Here is a written on steals. So this is written that while a steals audit has not yet been conducted. Mr. Fandar, remember, is saying that while a steals audit has not yet been finalized. Those are two different things. Because he is saying that we have not yet conducted the skills audit. But Mr. Van der Mende is saying here is not yet finalized, as if it is in the process. So I just want clarity on that particular matter. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhongi. Honorable Mantash.
Thank you, Chair. I only have a few questions for the clerk and some comments. On the same matter of skills, when the report is presented, one has to ask a question on how recruitment is done by this entity. Because you can't cry out of shortage of skills when you have invited people to apply for positions in your entity without the skills that are needed by the entity. How is your recruitment done? When say you have a shortage of kids. Because my take would be that because you know the contents of the jobs inside the entity, to invite the correct kids, people with the correct skills profile, and you send it back close. That's true from time to time, and you have action has been implemented within the enforcement division. Why is that? Is it that people do not want to do their work, so you resort to an arrangement for overtime to make some money? And it takes me back to my first question. What type of case do you invite to an institution as a matter, as a starting point? On the vacancies, it seems as if maybe the commission starts this year to work on this, to be part of this identity. When you look at the rate of vacancies, I don't understand how are you going to cope, because you said you are 82 of the office vacancies, 82 and 100, but why were they not filled? So that you can run away from the best of that complaining about. Thank you.
Honourable Mantar, Honourable McPherson.
Thanks, Jay. Last year, my colleague, the Honourable Hill Lewis, said that the NCC was, excuse me, was an ICU, with all the problems going there. It seems that you're progressing into the general ward, and that is certainly good, and hopefully in time you'll be discharged. But I think that there's still a number of unanswered questions that one needs to look at from your predecessor, Mr. Ibrahim. And I'd like to know, you said disciplinary steps have been taken against officials who incurred and permitted irregular expenditure. I want to know whether you are, what the progress of those are. It has been a year later since this was identified. And whether there are cases for criminal prosecution. And specifically, what that is potentially looking like if you have engaged law enforcement agencies on the problems that were highlighted by the Auditor General, and what recovery methods, if any, have been undertaken. On page 30, you have your numbers of action plans. I just want to know exactly what the details relate to the 18, and your status is in progress, and percentage is only 19%. If you could just take me through that. Chairperson, I think that the, and not just to a comment, if that's okay with you, Chair, you know, I think that the NCC is an important entity that looks to protect the consumer, and we see all too often the entities that appear to be on the wrong side of the consumer, in fact, work against the consumer. Now, if we are to fully capacitate the NCC, what is that going to require, Mr. Ibrahim? Because clearly we have, I mean, I'm inundated every day by scams and SMSs and win this and buy that, and you know, clearly the onslaught to consumers is relentless. And I think that we have to, it is in everyone's interest to have a commission that acts in the best interest of the South African public. But what is it going to take from you? What is it going to take from us to allow you to do that job? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable McPherson. Honourable Kuhn.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to add on what the Honourable Mkhonke McPherson asked, and that is, what is the percentage of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure recoverable? Is there anything? Are you going to recover anything or not? And then on slide 22 and 23, I see your heading is saying under expenditure. I would rather call that a saving. You know, I was on the finance committee previously. So I will say that was a saving, not necessarily under expenditure. Maybe on computer services, if you're not equipped in a proper way, that was under expenditure. As on travel and subsistence and consultants, and so that's a saving, and I want to commend you on that.
Thank you, Honourable Kleinhoff. You did, Mr. Vandenberg, I think it was yourself, referred to the increase in penalty incurred from fraud. And one would like
surprised to learn a little bit more. You know, we talked about one employee, several employees, and actually, why wasn't this paid on time? And what measures have you implemented to ensure that that sort of thing does not happen again? The other point, though, is it's quite clearly there's been an improvement in governance and governance and compliance and so on, but you yourself have highlighted or referred to issues with procurement which relates to the supply chain. And that indeed is again a challenge that we find, without no doubt relates to some of the irregular expenditure, etc., that is really being referred to. But apart from that, one would like to know what control measures are in place. I mean, you've got an internal audit committee. What is or what are the control measures in place? Because it would appear as if this environment is not effectively created as it currently stands. And perhaps you can then refer to, Commissioner, the organizational process, because you referred, you said, I think it was last year or whatever, that you were going to put in, you were going to restructure the NCC. Now, let's hear where you are there, how much time have you estimated it will take, and it will also, of course, affect the employees and those you will be taking on board. But if there has been an improvement, we'd like to see more improvement. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There have been quite a few questions, and I shall be seeking the assistance of my team when responding to some of these questions. The first question, I think, related to the underfunding by the Honourable Elders of the NCC, and that we are flooded with complaints, and I think the question is what would the ideal number of personnel be that we would like to have in the organization. Honourable Member, I don't think the Honourable Member was present in the chamber when I did talk about the restructuring of the organization. The NCC now has an establishment of 182 persons. This was brought about because of the situation that existed at the NCC at the time. What had happened was, I think, the minister had approved an establishment structure of 182 persons. What had happened was the former commissioner had appointed, I think it was about 38 staff members, but not as part of the establishment structure. They sat outside of the structure. And they were drawn from the youth and not necessarily with massive academic qualifications, even the grade 12 certificate was absent in certain cases and so on. And we then, in order for the organization, for reasons of stability and continuity and so on, internally, and most of them got those jobs. That is one of the reasons why the structure now stands 182. They were all brought into the structure, but didn't have any posts. They were all admin posts, and then many of them have sold into the contact center. Therefore, we do need to have this exercise where we'll do restructuring. We will really look at the organization, needs of the organization. We have also revised our strategy. We no longer do conciliations and complaints. We collaborate and cooperate with industries. I've spoken about the body industry and the consumer goods industry, where codes have been submitted, which include ADR mechanisms, and they would then, once these codes are vetted, they would have also law, and these industries would fund these mechanisms themselves at no cost to the consumer, and therefore the commission would no longer have to deal with those complaints, but straight to those industries. So I've taken all that into account, and that's working, and it's going to work even better once they invest it and so on. We would have to research and look at what our core focus is. We need to increase our investigations team and inspection schemes. And so it's very difficult at this stage to say exactly what we should have, because we don't have that plan yet. We are in the process of getting there, and we should hopefully have done the whole restructuring process by the end of the current financial year. It may take a bit longer. I don't know how long these issues take, but we're trying to get it done as soon as ever possible. I hope I've answered that part of your question. With regards to Kungi's question, is the NCC able to recover some of the funds? Was that for the particular piece of personal injury? The NCC has instructed attorneys to recover funds. I cannot recall in exactly which instances, but there are several instances where attorneys have been instructed to recover funds, whichever funds may be recoverable. So if the committee acquires it, doesn't, we could forward that to the committee. Okay. Sorry, Mr. Panamarava, would you want to respond to why it is called surplus and not something else?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The terminology between understanding surplus is often leading to confusion. At this specific point, the word understanding was used as prescribed by the format requirements for this specific table that we have to insert. But the bottom line is there were a large part of the understanding, that is to say their expenses were less than the available budget, they can be attributed to delays in the movement of certain activities. To some extent, given the fact that some of these processes were already irregular as such, and hence not all this money that were basically committed towards specific projects and specific systems could not all be spent at the end of the financial year. And it is for that purpose that, once again, according to the PFMA requirement, if you request funds to unspent funds to be surrendered, you refer to it as the retention of surplus funds. So a lot of these things are just in respect of the name, but where we have savings, the savings were realized as also mentioned by the member in all his comments. We will look at possible redirection of such unspent funds exactly to address the needs of the NCC as its business operations unfold and where priorities are being identified for spending. While I also have the opportunity, I just want to respond to the AG findings on page 44 of the annual report. The matters that were raised by the auditors, the adjustment for material misstatements, that is a corrective action that is being taken as audit unfolds and where they will need to relook at the figures of the previous financial year. And this material unstatements relates mainly to the audit of the asset verification that was performed and where the discrepancies identified between the physical assets that were on the floor and the asset register as is reflected on the financial system with its corresponding values, and that required the misstatement. The compliance with legislation, I will talk right now when I address the issue on the procurement policies. The submission, the financial reporting, etc. The commission has certain staff capacities, and that unfortunately results in time to finish house or financial reports, specifically at the financial year end. That issue has been addressed. And on the procurement and contract management, I will talk to that right now. So what I just want to repeat is the fact that we have for each and every audit finding, whether it's a general statement as contained on page 44 or whether it's a specific audit finding, we have put action plans in place. We have determined specific actions and due dates for each one of these actions, and the adherence and the addressing of the associated risk are being monitored on a monthly basis. There is already a lot of progress being made in this regard. But I just want to give the assurance that each and every audit finding or risk that is being identified by the management of the NCC receives priority attention and it is properly being recorded and tracked accordingly. On the recoverable fruitless expenditure, the Commissioner has already talked about it. Then on the SARS penalties, I just want to mention or explain the specific incident. It was an isolated incident insofar as the NCC has to pay over on a monthly basis all taxes that were recovered to SARS at the specific date. I'm talking in the correction, but I think it's the 6th or the 7th of the subsequent month. Now, in this specific instance, the payment was submitted to the previous CFO for sign-off. It wasn't returned on time, despite the inquiry here and there, and as a result, that when that money was paid, it was paid too late. Now, this is fruitless expenditure, and as such, the PFMA requires from the NCC to recover that money. So that process will be followed to recover that amount, but I just want to mention it's 26,000 rand, so the NCC will also just have to make sure that it doesn't throw good money after this type of expenses. But even if it's just to state the point that through this expenditure is financial misconduct and that it is a serious offence, the NCC will nevertheless proceed in recovering these monies. On the procurement policies and the requirements, you're right to mention that it is an issue, and I think it's across government, it is a serious issue in terms of that adherence. What the NCC is doing is we have for all financial and supply chain management processes, we have complied standard operating procedures that that indicates all the processes that have to be followed. We also implemented checklists. We refer to it as accounting checklist, where every transaction through each step, there are specific controls built in where it needs to be a check performed whether that specific requirement has been addressed, and whereby both the compiler and the person that authorizes signs off to confirm that issue. We have already subjected all supply chain management staff to full supply chain management courses to ensure that we have the necessary skills available. All staff of the NCC will also be trained on what we refer to as expenditure exceptions. What is fruitless, what is irregular, what are their requirements, what I need to do, and if there are losses incurred or fruitless expenditure incurred, that they will be helped responsible for that, and that funds will be recovered from that because it is regarded as financial misconduct. And then also the supply chain management functions in respect of your normal procurement as well as your asset management has been assigned to a specific senior manager, and that person will be reporting directly to the head of corporate services, and his core responsibility will be to ensure adherence to all these requirements that were already put in place. So I think that with these efforts that the NCC will go a very, very long way in preventing deviations from procurement policies, and then also to act preventative in ensuring that they happen again. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, may I just say one thing to the committee? I think it's important to remember that the previous CEO was quite problematic, and steps were going to be taken against the previous CEO. Disciplinary hearing had been set down. Let's get charges, I think about 27 charges to be prepared against him. But what happened was he had resigned and he left the commission. The TDI then had his comment, the current acting head of the division, Mr. Pandemerva, to the NCC, and it is for this reason that we believe that the situation is going to improve dramatically going forward. We really struggled. The former CFO was employed by the former commissioner, and he has now left the organization. He left, I think it was in May or June this year. And so I just needed to make that point. With regards to the questions by the Honourable Mantashe about recruitment and backlogs and so on. Firstly, backlogs are created when either the staff are unable to deal with influx with the numbers, or they're not sufficiently capacitated to deal with the issues contained in those files, in those complaints. But it's not because people do not do their work or do not want to do their work. I think we passed that stage. We had a stage where people are keen to do their work, but that they are not able to sometimes manage the issues that are that they have been asked to do in terms of the content of the complaints. It is for this reason that we are collaborating with industries who are the experts in the field. For instance, a difficult, complicated motor vehicle complaint. We do not have the capacity within the organization to understand the mechanics of a motor vehicle engine, but certainly the industry would have that kind of capacity and skill available, so they would be best able to deal with the matter. So part of our strategy is to do that. But with regards to in the past, what had happened was the approach of the NCC was to take on every single matter that came into the NCC. The NCC went live to the media to advertise that services were available and that South Africa should come to the NCC with whatever manner of complaint they must have as a consumer complaint. And therefore the NCC was flooded with thousands and thousands of complaints that it wasn't able to deal with. We didn't have sufficient resources, capacity, skill, and so on. But as I've explained about the collaboration with the industries now, much of these are being hired for the industries, so we can actually concentrate on that which we need to concentrate on. Recruitment, I cannot speak to cannot be beyond that because there is no money to pay for it. So given that scope and limitation, one has to choose the best one can within the circumstances. And that is what I think every organization in government and outside does. Chair, could I ask Mr. Gordon Bev to answer the question of the Honourable McPherson with regards to disciplinaries and criminal prosecutions and so on. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. With regards to the disciplinary, I think Commissioner already has spoken to two disciplinaries. In the one instance, the CFO had already resigned in the course of that particular proceeding. Likewise, the other senior manager had resigned. Currently, we sit with 10 employees that have been fairly recently charged, Honourable Chair. These primarily emanate from their omissions or commissions whilst they served as members of the evaluation and the adjudication committees, largely resulting in the irregular expenditure that you see in the report from the lease and so on. I think, Chairperson, the committee must be assured that current leadership of the National Consumer Commission regards the use of public funds and the processes that must ordinarily be followed in matters of this nature as sacrosanct. The charges, like I've indicated, have been served. Attorneys are in the process of having preliminary meetings that's about to commence with the representatives of those employees that have been charged. The DGI has to some degree assisted with some of the funds related to the attorney that have been engaged on our budget. With regard to the criminal prosecution that Mr. McPherson raised, yes, that is definitely underway. The statement has been drafted. Commissioner would be issuing that statement to the police fairly shortly. We're talking about the next week or two, Honourable Chair. Yes. It just needs to be settled. The statement's already there that this needs to be finalised. And it has certainly been drafted. As to who would be charged invariably would depend on the National Prosecution Authority and probably the police.
When you come back, please indicate whether this refers to some of the 12 who will be charged on those, or if it refers to other employees. Right, members, we're going to take a tea break, but just before we do, there's a follow-up, one, two, and these will be very short, very short. We'll start off at the back, because Honourable Matthias didn't even raise an issue. Yourself, Honourable Matthias, plus Honourable McPherson, Mkongi, and also Manta. Very short.
Thanks so much. Well, very shortly, as I say, we are told that there are investigations into the timeshare industry. What is timeshare industry? What parties that have been discontinued and which you say have been defended at the tribunal? Look, it sounds a little bit bizarre that you have received an unqualified opinion from the Office of the Auditor General. However, you've got this incidents or instances where the focus on page 25, no material finding on the usefulness of the reliability of the reported performance information. Surely that warrants you to have been given an adverse opinion in respect of that. And you also say that there have been cases of in respect of the budget, unforeseen and unknown circumstances where you have accumulated some surplus. Why often do we have to be held out of
out unseen in unknown circumstances. Surely you don't plan to fail, or you don't plan on the basis of unknown circumstances. Sounds a little bit bizarre. Lastly, Madam Chair, on page 26 about irregular expenditure for which we have accumulated about 6 million of such, mainly on these agreements due to lost documents and all of that. It's a connotation against what you claim as unqualified authority that you have received. On the basis of what can you really be given an unqualified report? And yes, a huge amount of about 6 million for which mainly is beyond these agreements. And that could not be accounted for, or somehow you classify it as regular expenditure. And yet there were no material evidence to make such a deduction. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Matthias. Honourable McPherson, your office
is our finding. Mr. Mohammed, my concern is this, is that we know that the habits of public servants jumping from entity to entity to department to department before they are actually charged and answered to questions of the administration is rough. And my concern is that this particular CEO is going to pop up in another entity unless these allegations are actually handed over to the police to investigate, because he doesn't have a case to answer now, because he's no longer in the employ of the department. I really would like your comments as to why the allegations have not been handed over to any units of the South African Police Service for investigation. Thank you.
I think this is a point that I raised as to whether those criminal, you know, charges, that statements, whether they do refer to some of these. So let's hear before we you know, make just a little assumption there that they're flying all over the government. But be that as it may, comment, yes, Honourable Corgi, followed by Honourable Mantosh.
Hello, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think this is what also I wanted to make a follow up on. Mr. Mandarmabe said that they are having action plans in place and the monitoring mechanisms on resolving the matters raised at page 44. But that action plan is not in front of us now. So I'd like to make a follow-up that maybe in future, Chairperson, we must have, before they come again for another financial statement next year, to see the progress. That progress shall also include the matters Honourable McPherson is raising on the follow-ups on the person that is has to resign, because that is creating a very bad image for the commission itself. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Mkongi, Honourable Mantosh.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chief. I'm interested to know how the skills are going to be developed at the NCC when we don't find any line in your budget that talks to the scaling of your workforce. How are you going to improve your performance? Because you will cry in front of shortage of seats. How are you going to do it? Or you will come back again and tell the same story next time, because you're not budgeted for it. It's prescribed by the skills development age. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Matash. Much appreciated. Like I said, you mentioned 12 employees there, charged with dereliction of duties, etc. And now you've mentioned 3 in relation to the criminal. Are these part of the 12 or another 3? And will you also be specific on the CEO, CFO, I think it was, who left. The other issue, because I want this to be the last round, is you remain under pressure due to lack of financial resources and capacity constraints. It would be useful to know what core functions are under pressure. What are they? So that we can make an informed decision whether or not we request more funds for this entity or not. Right, over to you, Commissioner.
With regards to the disciplinary charges, vis-a-vis the criminal charges, I think my colleague has indicated that the statement is, you know, that the statement is covering all the issues that they have to take into account, all the issues that we believe were not handled in the way that it should have been handled, and so on. There are a number of persons implicated. Yeah, no. That is for the disciplinary hearing, not for the criminal matter. In the criminal matter, there are several more extending to, a whole lot of people. I'm unable to mention that now. It must still go to the police services. It is difficult for me to say who will eventually be charged by the police. But at this point, it is inappropriate for me to mention some names now. But
let me just cut you short there. We heard that this would be processed within the week.
Yeah.
Within the week. And so, in 10 days' time, I would like that information back in writing for the committee. Because in 1 week it's going to be processed. Please can we have it back to the committee in 10 days. Clarification on the disciplinary measures, and by that time you would know who was involved there, like the entity, employer, beef, as well as the criminal charges. Because we don't want to go and close up our report really being generalizing, as it were. We want to be quite specific. You are taking this action against me, and let's deal with it that way. All right. So leave that one alone, because you're going to come back to us in writing there. How to respond to the other issues, Commissioner?
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. With regards to the question about the unqualified audit and the 6 million rand of irregular expenditure, I think just going to take a minute. The lease agreement was entered into in September or October 2011. By the former commissioner. There has been an investigation that was initiated by the Department of Trade and Industry into that transaction. There was a forensic investigation conducted as well. It was found that there was irregular expenditure and that certain recommendations that came out of this investigation that also recommended the disciplining of certain officials. What has transpired is that the National Consumer Commission, the reason why the audit is a qualified audit last year was not because the Commission did not disclose that information. The Commission did disclose the information. But we had a further problem at the National Consumer Commission, and that was that all the supply chain files were stolen from the Commission. So there was no proof that even irregular expenditure had happened and had occurred, that the contract was irregularly procured, that the lease and all that. So HR files were stolen on occasion, and supply chain files were stolen on the other occasion. And it is for this reason that the audit was qualified. The audit is unqualified this year because we applied to the National Treasury for condemnation so that we do not have it regarded as irregular expenditure any longer. This was unsuccessful. The National Treasury then strongly recommended that we proceed proceeding against the officials. Thank you.
And members, it's always difficult when we've come out of a fourth term, we're going into a fifth term. Probably only two of us are sitting here who were with that experience. And the reality is that there was so much missing, we're lucky the office was standing. So what there has been, though, well, I'm sure they took the sugar as well. Now, the issue is this, that there has been this turnaround. There has been this turnaround. At the time, this was reported to the committee, and I've asked Ms. Herring, the content specialist, to do a summary of that history. It was then that the National Commissioner was appointed as acting, began to take over, and the minister took deliberate and swift action about the matter. But of course, the Auditor General must still, you know, make a comment, an adverse comment, because of course, there aren't any documents. Just because now you've fixed up the matter doesn't mean to say you can say it was okay. It wasn't okay. But action has been taken. But I think in order that you are up to speed with it, let us allow Ms. Herring to give us a summary of those issues and then to come back to us with that information. Can we agree on that, members? Right. So, as I say, Commissioner, there has been an improvement in governance. But the reality remains that we need to improve on the situation even more to ensure that your internal audit committee is effectively functioning. Because if it is, then it's going to address a lot of these issues. And we can go into other issues next time. But we will be forwarding certain questions to yourself. But I want to thank you and your team for being here, all of you. Thank you very much. Tea break now at 5 to 11 until 10 past. Thank you.